Okay, we're finishing up a series called Culture. Culture, where I come from. Okay, we're finishing up the series on culture, and I don't know if you case you notice, it's a little shocking out there these days. The culture's a little shocking. Anybody notice that? Things that are going on, you're like, whoa. All right? Now, though it's interesting, if you look back from Bible days to now, from Bible days, you know, till now, it's been a change, right? It's been a change. It's been shocking. So why should you be surprised? It's just been going on. It's just been going on like that. And we want to, it's been going on for a long time. There's actually been a long time where this change and this compromise on the people, the culture that live on the earth, it's been around. So we should not be shocked. So I thought I'd take this culture and just build a whole series. And really, in essence, the series is about how do you and I, as a believer, as a child of God, as a follower of God, how do you and I stand firm in this culture? How do you and I stand firm and love well? How do we do that when there's a culture out there that is changing, that is shocking, that is compromising things that you go, are you kidding me? So this was what the whole series is about. How do we, in the midst, every day and every place that we go, stand firm on what we believe? By the way, this is what we believe, right? How do you stand firm in this, what you believe, and love well in the midst of that? So you're all caught up. Praise the Lord. But now, I don't care if you're a mom or a dad, you're single, you're young, you're old. You have been called as a believer to be an influencer in this culture. You are to be influencing, okay? Not blending in, to influence. And that was part two of the little kick in the pants, okay? If I could say it that way. So that's pretty much where we're going, and we're going to wrap up today. How many of you have ever been around some people and you get around them and you go, man, there's something about them. I just like them. I'm something about them that I'm drawn to. You just get around them and through conversation or maybe just hanging out, you're just drawn to them. Anybody have some people like that? Raise your hand. It's me. No, only kidding. Okay. Well, I believe that's what Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego were. They were people, children of Israel, but they were people that as you got around them, you were drawn to them. And now, so we've been basing our series really on the book of Daniel, talking about these guys. And they went through some interesting things. They went through some interesting circumstances because their culture, remember, they were taken out of Israel, taken out of their homes, taken out of Israel, and brought into Babylon. So right there, they have a change, right? So they had a change. It was shocking. And we watched how they stood strong, loved well, and influenced. So that's sort of what we've been doing. We're going to talk about a little bit different things with them today, but that's now you're all caught up. So open up your Bibles to Daniel chapter 6. That's where you've been reading. Daniel chapter 6. While you're getting there, Daniel chapter 6, it was real interesting looking at their lives is that they had a great change or shift in their life, in their every area of their life, and you watch them walk gloriously through it. You watch them, and we talked about last week, a war over worship, a war over worship. We watched them not bow to what the culture was doing. We watched them not bow to things and circumstances, and they stood strong, loved well, and they influenced. Okay, now you're caught up again. So y'all at Daniel chapter 6, I'm waiting, say amen. Okay, Daniel chapter 6, I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. It pleased Darius, he's the king at that time, to appoint 120 satraps. I'm still trying to remember how to pronounce that. Those would have been presidents of the land or the princes in the land. So this king was appointing 120 of these guys, and they were to rule over the whole kingdom, rule over the whole kingdom, with three administrators over those 120. So we have three administrators that are over the 120. One of them is our boy Daniel. All right. He's from another place. And yet, watch what happens when he gets placed into a place of authority. Okay, so one of them was Daniel, and the satraps were accountable to them, the three biggies, so that the king might not suffer losses, so they'd run the land. Now, Daniel distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by exceptional qualities. Everybody say exceptional qualities. Yeah. Okay. That's what we're going to talk about. So the title of this is Culture's Exceptional Qualities. Exceptional Qualities. And we're going to talk about how you and I can have these exceptional qualities. Everybody say exceptional qualities. All right. About ourselves everywhere we go. How do we have these and put them wherever we go? How do we have these exceptional qualities wherever we go? Okay, because we are to stand above the culture with these exceptional qualities, all right? Now, people, the culture that you live in, the people that you encounter, they should be looking at us and say, whoa, look at Michelle and her exceptional qualities because of who he is, who he is in us, and who we let out. So we have, okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. All right. Let me finish reading Daniel chapter 3. Here we go. Verse 4. Well, I'll finish up the last part of 3 again. Now, Daniel distinguished himself among the administrators and satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Verse 4. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs. I'm not even going to go there. Okay. Okay. Conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. So they found no corruption in him. Praise the Lord. Because he was trustworthy, neither corrupt or negligent. Okay. Finally, these men said, we will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God or his religion or his faith. Okay. So it's interesting. Did you see that part? It says, Daniel distinguished himself. Who did it? Daniel distinguished himself. All right. Daniel distinguished himself. So here we have this guy, Daniel. All right. But what about us? In order for us to influence the culture around you, you are going to be different. In order for you and I to influence the culture around us, you and I are going to be different. We are going to have to distinguish ourselves above them. Now, it's not this pride thing, I'm so much greater than you, but there's some other things we're going to talk about. So everybody, amen? We, as followers, are going to distinguish ourselves above the culture, and we're going to influence them, all right? So that's what we're going to talk about. Praise the Lord. So when I read this again, this last part, and Daniel, they couldn't find anything against him. There was no corruption in him. He was trustworthy and all of this. I think, man, I hope I can do that. Anybody who would say that, man, I hope I can obtain that report where they can't find anything wrong with you because there's no corruption and I'm trustworthy. I want to be like that. Anybody else? Yeah. Okay. I want to be like that. I do. So can you just imagine people looking at me and say, I can't find anything against her. Wow, I can't find anything against you. That's really cool. So praise the Lord. Wouldn't that be interesting or awesome that when you go to work, all the people that you work with say, oh, I can't find anything against these people, you know, y'all at work. Wouldn't that be awesome? Pastor D, don't go too far on that. Yes, I am. Okay. So wouldn't it be awesome? It was awesome. These exceptional qualities in Daniel and Shadrach and Abednego were in them, and they were displayed out of them, and they affected their culture. And that's us. That's what's supposed to be going on with us. Okay. Now, everybody here that's accepted Jesus, raise your hand, okay? All right, now, if you raise your hand, if you've accepted Jesus into your life to be your personal Lord and Savior, guess what? You already have these exceptional qualities in you. Can I get an amen? Amen. right? Who came inside of you? Whose spirit lives inside of you? Who's perfect? The spirit of the Lord is now inside of me, all right? I'm one with him. I'm seated with him. As he is, so am I. So guess what? All these exceptional qualities are in you. Oh, you should be so happy and laughing and rolling on the floor. Golly, gee whiz, all right. Actually, the day you received the Lord Jesus Christ, they, in a sense, they got downloaded inside of you. Those exceptional qualities got downloaded. All right. Praise God, they're downloaded. And so I believe we already have all these exceptional qualities in us, all right? But you might be thinking, oh no, Pastor D, maybe Joyce, but not me. She's got them. Oh, no. Read your Bible. I'll go through scriptures and I could machine gun you with them. But the day you received Jesus, he moved in. Perfect Lord Jesus. Oh, whoosh. Not to mention the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. That's all inside of you. It's all inside of you. All right. We have exceptional qualities. Tell your person next to you, you have exceptional qualities inside of you. You have exceptional qualities inside of you. Yeah. Okay. Now, one of the jobs of the church and one of the jobs of your pastor is to help bring them out. Help bring them out. So I'm going to help bring them out. So you're like, yeah, praise the Lord, D. And that is why I encourage you, come to church. Come to a grow group. You get into grow groups and they look at you and they say, I'm going to help pull these out of you. Because that's what happens in our groups. We share the word. We share life one another. We encourage one another. Okay. We say, oh, I know Jesus inside of you. I know greatness inside of you. And I'm going to help pull it out despite what's going on. So good reason to come to church and pray with one another and get into a grow group. Praise the Lord. All right. So we're talking about these exceptional qualities. But first I want to say something before we get into going over what they are. We just finished a portion of our worship service. A portion is the worship, the word, and then there'll be prayer and stuff like that. But we just finished the part where it was worship. Right? Y'all remember that? You were singing, right? Praise the Lord. Now, singing, and I watched hands up. I did not grow up in a church where they raised hands. And I will remember the first church I went to. I thought, awkward. Oh my, that's a little awkward in here. And people have their hands up. All right. But the more I got around it, the more I observed it, the more I actually came into places where there was worship. Okay, because back then I knew about three songs. So when I came to a church, I was blown away. You knew more than three songs. Okay? So the more I got around that, the more I started to go, oh, man. I started doing it. I started raising my hands. All right? I started to worship with surrendering my life to the Lord. It was awesome. And as you were here last week, it was part of bowing to the Lord because I'm just going to surrender to him. Praise God. So I got around that. And that's sort of what was going on this morning. And, you know, when we get together in a place like this and there's worship going on, and if you enter into that, ooh, 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 you know, God will start doing some things in your life. He'll start doing some things in your life. He'll start washing you up, strengthening you up. Shoot, you might even be on the ground. I don't know. But God will start doing some things. And I would challenge you to say this, that he'll start bringing the good qualities that are in you outside of you in these times of worship. Right? As opposed to some of those qualities that are in you that aren't so good. You know, when I'm in a place of worship, I'm not thinking, and hopefully you're not thinking about me and some of my not good qualities, but I'm in the presence of God and all that he is starts, just coming out of me. Therefore, I can lift my hands. Therefore, I will lift my hand. Therefore, I will do dance and shout and sing and stuff like that. So it's very interesting that when we gather together in places of worship, that these exceptional qualities, right? Amen. I'm going to give you a scripture so you know what I'm talking about. Open up to 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 3:17. 2 Corinthians 3:17. They're going to pop this one up because I'm reading out of a different translation, but the first part's the same in everybody's Bible, all right? 2 Corinthians 3:17. The guy who wrote this is the Apostle Paul. Let me tell you, Paul did not start, you know, straighter than this and smelling perfect. Paul had a big transformation in his life, all right? And here he is at this point where his life has been transformed, and he's just a servant of God, and he's writing this, and he says, the Lord is the what? The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Some translations say what? Liberty. All right? There's freedom. Now, sometimes we read that and they go, yeah! Yeah, I'm free. I can act crazy wild in church. That is not what that talks about. Okay, that is not what it's saying there. Okay, Paul's like, no, no, no. He's talking about you and I, you and I, and the things that try to hold us back, God wants you free. If there's things trying to hold you back, God's saying, hey, I've set you free. Guess what? God wants you free. All righty. Praise God. I want to be free. Praise the Lord. No. So you're like, okay, Pastor D, what do you mean things that hold me back? God wants me free. Well, I don't know where your life's been back, but maybe you've been labeled with you'll never be this. Okay. You got a label slapped on you. God says, I want you free from that. I want you free from that. Okay. Now it's really free from the law of sin and death, but what's that look like played out in my life? You know, I don't know if your parents or your teacher said, I had a teacher tell me, you ought to quit college. You just don't got it. Nice lady. Okay, I was not born again, and I probably behaved why she said that. Well, I did, okay. But you talk about having a label stuck on you, and God saying, hey, Dee, I want to set you free. I've come, and I have set you free. I want you to know that you're set free. Okay, so sometimes we have things in our life that just kind of hold us back. Praise the Lord. So let's keep reading this. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Yay! Our faces then are not covered with a unveiled face. Okay, probably doesn't mean anything to you, but how many of you have ever heard of Moses? You need to go downstairs if you have not yet. Okay, my favorite story is talking about Moses when his children. Okay, Moses. Moses was from the Old Testament. And Moses, it was just one of the patriarchs, mighty man of God, Moses. And Moses would go up there was a season. Moses would go up to the top of the mountain and he'd have a meeting with God. Anybody like to meet with God? Yeah, he would have this time together with God, just Moses. And the rest of the children of Israel, they're down at the bottom of the mountain. Moses is hanging out with God, and you can read that. There's a whole bunch of things that happens. But he's actually having fellowship, a get-together, a meeting, a hanging out. Okay, you get where I'm going here? Okay. So Moses will be up on the mountain, and he come down the mountain after having these meetings with God, fellowshipping with God, just woohoo! And he'd come down and there was so much glory on him that his face shone. And all y'all down at the bottom of the mountain said, oh, we can't take looking at all that glory. Moses, put a hat on and a veil. We can't take it. So put a veil so we can't see it. We can't handle it. Really, we can't handle it. Okay. Now, that's Old Testament. Jesus came. Right? Jesus died. Jesus rose again. And he has broken the veil. And that's another thing. But he doesn't have anything covering his face. You don't have to have anything covering your face. You can come boldly into the throne room of God. Right? You get to go in anytime. You can go in and you don't have to be, oh, I don't know if I can worship God. No, you can come boldly into the throne room of God because what Jesus did, who you are now, you get to go in there. Woo! Right? You can cry on the floor in front of him. You can sit right next to him. You can even scream at him because I have done that. And you can just sit there and do nothing. You can come in anytime. There is no veil that keeps you away, covered, God covered. Jesus is not covered from you. Isn't that wonderful? You should all go home now happy. That, I mean, that right there is just wonderful. Praise the Lord. Okay. So, let's see. I better keep reading. Here we go. Let's jump back. So our faces then are not covered like Moses with an unveiled face. We all show, reflect, behold, or contemplate the Lord's glory. And we, everybody say we. You are the we. This is who you're talking about, okay? And we, this happens to us, okay? The next part says, we are being changed and transformed. I am in the presence of God. You are in the presence of God. And guess what? You get in the presence of God and you will be changed and transformed. Okay? Now, that tells me, okay, back up. The day I received the Lord Jesus Christ, my spirit became alive. I'm a new creature and all that. But there's still a process going on in me. Okay? Okay? So this is a continual process. Every time you get into worship, every time you get into the Word of God, there's a continual process of you being changed and transformed, okay? It doesn't happen all at once. I'll tell you what, would have been great, but it doesn't. It's a continual thing, all righty? So when we worship like we just did, and if we come together in groups or just at home, and guess what? When you do that, you come together and you come into the presence of God, you're being changed. How many of you need change in your life? Y'all should have your hands up. Your spouse will say that. Yeah. Okay. So in the presence, there's a change. We need change. So that's why we do that. Okay. Keep going. We are being changed. It's transformed. That's a process. And we are going to be like him into the same image. This change in us brings ever greater glory, or it is from one degree of glory to another if from glory to glory, which comes from who? The Lord, who is the Spirit. So I believe every time you come to church and you're worshiping, I believe every time you gather in your small groups, I believe every time you read your Bible, because y'all read your Bible, okay? God is doing something with the exceptional qualities in you that are going to come out. They're going to come out. Everybody say, come out. Amen. Okay. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that. Hey, what's the last book in the Bible? Good. You would get a lollipop downstairs if you answered that. Don't have them up here. Okay. The last book in the Bible is the book of Revelations. Open up to that, please. All right. The book of Revelations is written by the Apostle John. He was amazing. John's the guy that wrote 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, the Gospel of John. This is the author of this book of Revelations also. And background on that, John had been exiled and placed on an island. And I'm pretty sure it was in the Caribbean. I have some favorites there. But he was placed on this island. Do you know why he was placed exiled? Hey, you have to go. I am taking you. I'm placing you. Do you know why he was exiled? For his beliefs in Jesus. Whew. Lord, the Caribbean's okay. I believe in you. All right. So he was exiled to this island. And by the way, historians say that people, government, also people, tried to kill him multiple times. They were just ticked at his faith, his life, his love, and this Jesus. And they would try to kill him. One of the ways they tried to kill him, has anybody read this? They dumped him in boiling oil. Okay? They dumped him in boiling oil, and when they pulled him out, it says he was not burned. He's not burned. That's wild. That's crazy. Not harmed at all. All right? So they had to just put him on an island. Can't kill this guy. I'm just going to put him on an island. Maybe it'll shut him up and he can talk to the frogs. Okay? So they put him on this island. And while he's on this island, now, by the way, if you think that's a crazy story, what about our story last week? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were thrown into a fiery furnace and they didn't smell like smoke. Their clothes weren't burned. Their hair wasn't burned. Hey. Mighty men of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. Back up here. So we're reading the book of Revelation. It's written by John. And John has an encounter in heaven. Okay. An encounter in heaven. You ought to read that. Please just read through it. Okay. He has this encounter of heaven and he comes before the throne of God. And he sees four creatures. Four creatures with eyeballs and they look kind of different. Okay. We're going to read that. Here we go. in the center, okay, also in front of the throne, okay, excuse me, Revelation 4, I'm so excited. Revelation 4, 6 through 7. Also in the front of the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. And in the center around the throne were four living creatures. And they were covered with eyes in the front and the back. That's different. And the first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. And the fourth was like a flying eagle. Okay. We're going to talk about these creatures. Okay. We're going to talk about these creatures. And it's quite interesting on the meaning of them and how it applies to us. But these four creatures, Bible scholars, there's kind of a bunch. It's so much fun what Bible scholars say. You can take it or leave it. But some of them, you start hearing the same thing and you're like, ooh, they got something. So some of the Bible scholars say, well, the creatures just represent the four gospels. Other Bible scholars, and the majority of them, and I tend to believe this, they say these four creatures represent Christ. Jesus Christ and the life that he displayed on earth, who he is. So I figured we should know Jesus a little bit better. So we're going to go through these creatures and what they represent in us. Because what's living inside of you? All these exceptional qualities, right? All right. So these were the exceptional qualities that were in Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hey, open up to 2 Corinthians now. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Okay, praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:17. We just read that, and you go back, and it's talking about, we just read that, that there was the you get into the presence of God through worship and reading the word. All right, you get in there, and these, all of God, that's all in us, these exceptional qualities start coming out. Okay, so we just read in Revelation these four creatures that represent the exceptional qualities of Jesus. Amen. I'm pretty sure he's got some exceptional qualities. All right. And so we're going to look at those exceptional qualities that were in Jesus, because guess what? They're in us. And they need to be displayed in us so we can influence people, the culture, everything around us. So it's real important that we do this, all right? Praise God. They need to be coming out of us, all righty? Number one. Okay, let's talk about our four creatures. The first one we're going to talk about is the ox. If you're taking notes, right? Ox. The ox. Everybody know what an ox is? There's these big old creatures, okay? The ox represents a servant. Everywhere I read, it represents a servant. The ox represents a servant. Now, back then, this ox would be compared to our cars. Because back then, their oxes were their transportation, right? Back then, their oxes were carried things. Back then, their oxes also plowed fields. So they're like sort of our tractors of today. But they were all servants for us, okay? So the ox, according to John, the ox is one of the creatures, and we're going to say it represents being a servant, all right? Being a servant. Praise God. Now, being a servant, why should I be like a servant? Are you kidding me? I want people to serve me. No one ever said that here. All right. So, but, all righty. Turn over now to 1 Corinthians 9:19. Again, this is the Apostle Paul. Again, we're talking about this ox that represents the qualities of Jesus. Jesus is a servant, and Jesus lives in us, so we ought to be a servant. Praise the Lord. Okay? 1 Corinthians 9:19. Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave, a.k.a. a servant. Everybody say, I make myself a servant. Yeah! To who? Everyone. All right, I make myself a servant to you. I make myself a servant to you. I make myself a servant to you. I make myself a servant to everyone, all right? And the reason to win what? As many people as possible. So Paul says the way you win people is to be what? The way you win people is to do what? Be a servant. The way you win people to Jesus is to be a servant. Now, what do you think is more effective? Standing on a street corner, hanging up, holding a sign saying, "Repent, you're going to hell." This happened in the last 3 years. One time I was in San Francisco, one time it was Kansas City, and I saw this happen. One guy had a bullhorn, but the other guy's had a sign, and he says, "You're going to hell, repent." Now, what do you think's more effective? If I am a servant or I'm yelling at somebody, "You're going to hell, repent." Yeah, no brainer, Pastor D. All right. And you know, it was really interesting when I saw the guys, especially the one in San Francisco, super busy corner. And he's got this sign and the other guy's got a bullhorn and he's yelling that. Now, let me interrupt. Is that true? What he said is truth. Okay, truth. But do you know what? People were just walking right by. They just tuned that out. You know why? Well, number one, it's not loving. Number two, I think you'll be more effective if you start serving, okay? If we start serving first, okay? And you know what people really want? People want you to love them, and they want to serve, to be served, because when you serve and you love, it opens their hearts. And then they can hear who Jesus is and where they are and where they need to be. But first you go in loving and serving, amen? Praise God. I want to read this out of the Message Bible, the same thing. 1 Corinthians 9:19. This is Paul out of the Message Bible. "Even though I am free of the demands and the expectations of everyone, I have volunteered to become a servant." I volunteered to become a servant to any and all in order to reach a wide range of people: religious, non-religious, meticulously moralistic, loose living moralists, immoralists, excuse me. Okay. And the defeated and the demoralized, whatever, whoever. I didn't take on their way of life. Key. We go out to reach people. We go out to reach the culture, but you don't imitate them, right? This is what Paul was saying. I went out to reach them. I didn't become like them, but I went out to reach them. I didn't take on their way of life. I kept my bearing on Jesus, on Christ. But I entered into the world, their world, and tried to experience things from their point of view. I've become just about every sort of servant there is in my attempts to lead those to meet into a God-saved life. I did all of this because of the message. I didn't just talk the talk, talk about it. I wanted to be in on it. How many of you know what a millennial is? A millennial is a terminology for kids, people, youngers, 22 to about 37. That's what we call the millennials. It's so silly, the labels they give. Okay, but somebody that's like 22 to 37. By the way, I raised 4 millennials. Thank you, Jesus. Do you know what the millennials say about church? Like church. Church, church, this church, okay? They say, "I don't want to just go to church and talk it. I want to go out and do something." I love that. You know what they're saying? "I want to be a servant." And they are going out and doing some goofy things, you know, that aren't. But how about millennials, Christian millennials? They want to go out and do something. Just not talk about it. Let's just do something. All right. So that's what Paul was saying. I became as them. I got in their world to be a servant. I didn't just talk the talk. I went out to serve people so that I would open their hearts as I serve them, and then the gospel. Tell them about Jesus, all right? Can I be really honest? I think we need to get out of these four walls. We do so much stuff that's inward here, and I am ready to go outwards, okay? But it takes servants, okay? Praise the Lord. Such as Harvest of Blessing. You are having an outreach July 14th and 21st. Where? Okay. Would you like to go serve the community, serve a culture? Go see Jural, all right? Not just on those days. She'll keep you running. Well, oh, Pastor D, I don't have that much time. Do you have one day a month? All right. Here's another one. Here's a friend of a friend of mine. He has a grandson, and they lived in the city area, and the park where they lived was just really just full of trash. There's so much trash and garbage, needles just there. They wouldn't even go mow. The city wouldn't even mow it. Okay. And this little boy was on his heart to be a servant to his community, his neighborhood, and he would go and clean up that place. And bags of junk. So he got my friend, who's his grandpa, and they'd haul the junk out. And that was his heart to serve. They ended up by putting this kid on TV a couple years ago and telling his soul story. And as he's telling his story, I'm like, did you hear Jesus? Did you hear Jesus? Okay, this kid was probably 9 years old. 9 years old. Be a servant heart to his community. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. Listen, we have got great ministries in York County. I'm good friends with Laura Abel. She heads up Human Life Services. She is looking for people to counsel, to mentor. You can just go in there once a month and clean their facilities. And what they do is they pour into girls that are pregnant and don't know what to do. Of course, we know what to do, okay? You can do all sorts of things here. There's great stuff. But I tell you, all of that is... servant. Go serve your community. Now, do we preach at them every single time we serve them? Not always. Not always. But they're going to see your life. They're going to see this servant. And the next time, and the next time, man, doors open. You can tell them there's a better way. There's a Jesus who loved you and is just going to reach you and bring you up into a greater life. All right. So, yeah. So will doors open? Paul said, absolutely. Yep, you'll have doors open when you're a servant. So everybody say servant. Servant. All right. Hey, y'all know, was it Romans 2:4? For the goodness of God leads people to repentance. The goodness is finding ways to serve and love. That will lead them. It's like you put them on the top of the slide. They're going to slide down. They'll run into Jesus, but it starts with a servant. It starts serving and loving. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, moving on. Creature number two. Ready? Creature number two. If you're taking notes, creature number two is a man, and he represents the face of love. And I'm not going to talk too much about love, just a few things, but open up to John 13:34. John 13, you probably sing this song. A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. All right. By this, everyone will know you're my disciples if you love one another. Everybody say love one another. Okay. Again, when we gather in times of worship, when we gather and just love the Lord and sing unto him, okay, and then we get into the Word, praise the Lord, we read our Bible, there is a Jesus inside of us, and it starts coming outside of us. The Jesus inside of us starts coming outside of us. So when you start loving people, Jesus inside of you starts coming outside of you. And people love to be loved. It's just the greatest thing. All right. So what if in our marriages we serve one another? What would it look like? What if in our marriages we start loving one another? What would it look like? Sure got quiet in this place, Pastor D. Gee whiz. All right. Praise the Lord. Love one another. Serve one another. How many of you know there's four kinds of love mentioned in the New Testament? In the New Testament, we read it in English, love. But it's in the Greek, it means four different things. This scripture is the agape or agapeo one. And it means, if you're taking notes, agape, this kind of love, that when we love one another, this is what it's going to look like. Because some of you think, you know, it looks like this, but this is what it looks like. Love, agapeo love, means it's unconditional. What? Yeah. Unconditional, sacrificial, pure. This last one, selfless. Write that one down. Okay. So can you imagine if we love the person that we're married to like that? Unconditional, selfless, pure. All right. Now listen, is the person you're married to perfect? All right. Do they do things that just get under your skin? Heck yes. But you do the same thing, right? Just maybe different. All right. Okay. So, but what if we agape, unconditional, sacrificial, pure, selfless one another? What would it look like? All right. What if the church rose up? Church, you're the part of the church, and we had this sacrificial love to our city, not just, oh, we're praying for you. Oh, you know, God bless you. We'll pray for you. No, how about if we start serving and loving our town, our cities, our neighborhoods? And if you run out, you can love me. I don't care. All right. What happens if we start doing that? Praise the Lord. That's what they call transformation. You want to see transformation? Love. Love that way. You will see transformation. Praise the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, in case you didn't notice, but there's not a lot of love going on in the world. There's a lot of hate. There is a lot of hate going on. Turn your TV on. Shoo, baby. All right? We're not seeing that God kind of love. All right? We're not seeing that. There's a bunch of hate going on. There's hate. Man, you just mentioned politics, and there's hate flying all over. But there's hate between races. And listen, if I had to see what God sees about what the church is supposed to look like, the church should be like a slice of heaven. The church on this earth should be like a slice of heaven. All right? And there's none of that. We're not saying, well, okay? We are the church. You have these exceptional qualities inside of you. It is the love of God, and it does not hate. Amen? I grew up in the race riots, okay? I needed Jesus. I found out Jesus changed me, and I had to work at knowing and learning who I really was so I could wash that junk out of me. I just love. I just love now. I love. I'm like, I'm so glad that's washed out of me, okay? Praise the Lord. Praise God. All right, so we need to love. Hallelujah. You need to love in your marriages. You need to love on your job. You need to love your kids. You need to love in your schools. You need to love wherever you go. And sometimes you run into people, man, they are hard to love. But wait a minute, I have this exceptional quality on the inside of me. And I am choosing to know who he is and what's inside of me. And I'm going to let it out. Okay, love. Let's do number three. Number three, if you're taking notes, is the eagle. All right, number three is the eagle. And that represents honor, respect, and excellence. Pull your toes in, you're going to get stamped on. Just want to warn you. I used to say, oh, man, this generation, nobody knows anything about honor. These people don't know how to honor. I look around. But listen, the day Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, honor was out, right? So we haven't had honor, real honor. I mean, you don't know what honor is, all because of that. Praise the Lord. I mean, not praise the Lord. But I really, but when I think about honor, and I'm going to give you a definition in a minute. When I think about honor, within the church, you are the church. We should be the people that honor greater than anybody else. First time I really knew I didn't know squat about honor is I went to a military funeral. You watch honor. Anybody been in the military? They will tear you apart and build you up, and you will know honor, right? Okay, so that was my first thing. And then I started digging in the word about what this honor is. So I'm going to give you a definition. It's really easy. Ready? Honor means to place a high value on something. Honor means to place a high value on something. All right? Okay, you're not going to like what I'm going to say, so pull your toes in. But there are a lot of people that do not place a high honor on a place that's supposed to be. There are a lot of people that do not place a high honor on our president. Well, I don't honor him, Pastor Dave. He's a meh, meh, meh. I don't like his policies. I don't like his hairstyle. And, you know, I don't like him at all. Okay, going to give you a Bible scripture. I'm actually going to give you two. Ready? Write this down. 1 Peter 2:17. Because we are the church. You are made in God's image, and he's going to tell you what to do. All right? He's going to teach you about honor, the scripture. Ready? Whew. Okay, did I say 1 Peter 2:17? Honor everyone. Who needs to be honored? Are you sure? Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. That's like the family of God. Love believers. Can you imagine you have to tell each other to love the family of God? Yes, we need to be reminded. Love the family of God. Okay. Love the family of God. Love the brotherhood. Fear God and honor the emperor. Honor the emperor. Okay, that's all in Old Testament when this is written. Emperors. Do we have an emperor? I don't know. I think of Chinese emperors and stuff. But today, you know what that emperor is? I didn't hear you. I still didn't hear you. Yeah, what did God just say? Honor the president. I don't like him. I can't do it. God didn't say if you can or you cannot. He simply said, honor the president. Okay? I have to say that sometimes. And I'll tell you ways you can honor him, okay? But we're to honor the president. Praise the Lord. I'm going to give you one more scripture on this. Same thing. You can take your toes out from under your chair. Ready? Romans 12. Romans 12:9. God says to honor him? Yes. All right. Romans 12:9. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affections. That's that other kind of love. Outdo one another showing love. Outdo one another honoring. Outdo one another. Can you imagine? We start outdoing. You said that, I do this. You said that, I do this. I'm going to outdo Michelle in honor. Can you imagine? Honor. Showing honor, outdo. Oh my gosh. Shoo. Now remember, honor is to place what? A high value on something. Okay? Praise the Lord. So how about we outdo honor and honor in our marriage? All right? Place a high value on your spouse. Listen. Oh my golly, Jesus. Talk about showing honor to my kids when they were teenagers. Gosh. It took a while till I said, I agree with what God said. All right. But you can do it, because what are the qualities inside you? Exceptional qualities. What are the qualities inside of you? Love, honor, servant. Okay. Praise the Lord. All right. Praise the Lord. Honor, honor. Okay. What if on the job we would honor? Right. J-O-B, honor. J-O-B, honor. Okay, most of you are like, Pastor D, my paycheck is my job. And that's it. Pastor D, when I get my paycheck, I'm out of there. Forget the honor. Okay, praise the Lord. Okay, so what happens when honor is absent on your job? It's just a job. I got a couple more scriptures for that, but I'm not even going to do all those today. But listen. What do you think honor looks like on your job? Oh, you show up on time. Stomp on some toes here. Yeah, you are honoring your employer. Okay, I do it unto the Lord. I'm going to show up on time. I'm going to show up on time. And if you're me, I come early. Praise the Lord. All right. How about this? You see someone in some employee walk in and they've got tons of work and you're about wrapping up. You know how you show honor there on your job? You go, hey, can I help you out? Showing honor in your job. I can go on a few more of those, but your toes are snapped here. Okay. Praise the Lord. This is what I believe honor looks like in believers, Christians. Ready? You walk into your job and you're hanging out. Everybody should go, whoa. Everybody say that. Whoa. Your boss should say, whoa. What are these exceptional qualities in you? I've never had an employee like you before. Come early. Help out. Well, my friend Beth Where's Beth Regal? She used to tell me where she used to work. She said it was cracked her up. And she was a believer. She said right about the last half hour of work, everybody would disappear. They'd all hide out in the bathrooms. So she got smart. She used to leave tracks in there. She tells the funniest story. But I thought, that's not honoring your employer, your job, is it? Get out of the bathroom, y'all. Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. How about if the world says, we should be the wow factor wherever we go. On your job, your boss should say, hey, I've never had an employee like you. By the way, it was a compliment because you honor, all right? How come you're like that? What is it? And you could say, I didn't used to be like that, but okay, doors open. But I received Jesus and he's changed everything in my life. And you had a door open, all right? Paul said, I do all this that I might win. So you start showing honor in your place of work. All right. And then then these doors open. You get to tell them about Jesus. Ready? Amen. So you can take your bumper sticker off. You don't have to wear your t-shirt. They're not even looking at that. They're watching you. Right? Honor. Everybody say honor. Praise the Lord. Okay. Friend of mine says pastor has a slogan when they do all their trainings in their departments. Okay. And it's really cute. It's a great one if you have kids. Ready? Honor up. Honor down. Honor all around. Man, I'd have my kids singing that in the car by now when they start. But listen, how about all of us? Honor up first. God, I honor you. Look what you've done in my life. You rescued me. You brought me into this beautiful family of God. Okay, then when I've got this and I'm filled up, okay, because I've been worshiping, we're in the Word, then I can go honor down, okay, and then all around. Ready? Honor up. Honor down. Honor all around. Praise the Lord. All right, real quick review. We are to be a servant. We serve one another. We serve people. We serve our towns, our communities. You serve your spouse. You serve because Jesus said so. The second one is we love one another. And this last one is honor. And if you don't know what honor is, listen, I didn't see a whole lot of honor in my family. I saw a lot of plate flying, words flying, okay? But get in a small group. We'll help you. Find people that you watch them. I watch people. I'm like, whoa, I watch the way this husband treats his wife. Man, he's got this honor. I'm going to hang out there. I watch how you behave over here and I see you honor people. The lowest of lows. You just love them and honor them. You lift them to a high place. Okay. Go find those people. Hang out with them. All right. Amen. Last one. Here we go. Oh, crud. Praise the Lord. Okay, last one is the lion, all right? Lions are what? Bold as a lion, all right? Scripture, Proverbs 8:21, the righteous are as bold as a lion. I think some people thought, they read that and they go, oh, the righteous are as mean as a lion. The righteous are the disrespectful as a lion. Because you know, if you walk up to that lion, he doesn't care who you are. He's just going to bite your head off. But Mr. Lion, I'm a Christian. He doesn't care. You're done, baby. You are done, all right? This simply, I'm just going to go fast. The lion. Jesus was bold. You have this boldness inside of you. Praise God. I got one more scripture. Oh, golly, Jesus. Okay. 1 Peter 5. I think this is my last scripture. I promise. 1 Peter 3:15. 1 Peter 3:15. Praise the Lord. Oh, but I don't want to be bold. I don't want, be persecuted. 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope, the reason for your life, the reason of Jesus, okay, that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. You are not beating people up, okay? Gentleness and respect, all right? Praise the Lord. So in essence, I look at the lost. I look at my neighbors. I look at people I bump into. And I can either pull back or I can see eternity in them. And I will speak up and I will look for ways to love, to serve, to honor, and to be bold in their life. Because it is about eternity. Amen. Praise God. Okay. I have another 15 minutes, but we're going to pray. Hallelujah. Father, amen. Let's close our eyes. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you that we have had times, Father, today where we have come into your presence and worship. We thank you that you have opened our eyes to see all that Jesus is. And there's more qualities of Jesus, but you've opened our eyes to see these qualities. I thank you, Father, that Holy Spirit, I thank you. You remind us. You remind us that we are to be servants, that we are to be love one another. We are to honor. We are to be bold. I thank you, Father, that you just keep this in before us this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Eyes still closed. If you're here today and you'd say, Pastor D, you're talking about this Jesus like he's somebody real. Yes, I am. I am talking about a real Jesus. And if you would like to have a real experience, a real personal Jesus in your life, he is standing at the door and knocking. He is knocking. And he says, he knocks and it'll be open. You have to ask. And he says, just call on his name and he'll be there. He says he is the truth and he is the way. And there's no other way to enjoy this life, to be in this beautiful family, to be a child of God, except for you ask. And he comes flooding in. So if there's anybody here who would say, Pastor D, I would like to experience Jesus in a personal way. I would like Jesus into my life. I would like to ask him to be the Lord and my Savior of my life. Would you just raise your hand and I'll pray for you real quick. or rather, I'll have you just come up with and pray with me later. How about that? All right. So is there anybody? You want me to pray for you? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Anybody? Praise the Lord. All right. Eyes open. Hallelujah. You are the family.